Jazz saxophonist Chico Freeman brings his plustet to Columbia and MU's Whitmore Recital Hall for a We Always Swing Jazz Series concert this Thursday evening. The day before the concert, that's tomorrow, the Chicago native Freeman will dedicate a library here in Columbia. Hi, I'm Trevor Harris. I recently talked with Chico Freeman, and coming up next, he details the very personal connection he has to that library he'll dedicate. We'll also learn about his 10-year musical odyssey, the influence of family on his music. And up next on KBIA, Chico Freeman introduces us to the members of the Plustet, the play on the MU campus later this week.
I'm going to be bringing Anthony Wanzi on piano, Kenny Davis on bass, who are both from Chicago and who both have played during their time in Chicago with my father. In fact, Kenny always says that my father trained them for their eventual move to New York. And then on drums, I have Mark Whitfield Jr., who is the son of Mark Whitfield, the guitar player, and myself, of course. The core of the Plustet is a quartet. But the idea of the Plustet is a unique trademarked name that gives me the opportunity to expand or change instrumentation in the core quartet. So sometimes I work with a vibus, like we just did the Village Vanguard back in October. I added Gus Sillis to the group, played vibes. He also worked a lot with Arthur Blythe and myself over the years. And so I had the quartet plus vibes. And this gives me the opportunity to make different aggregations of the band, you know, configurations. So I played Dizzy's once with the core quartet, and I added a percussionist, but a unique percussionist, a guy who played an instrument called the hong, and djembe and gatam, the Indian. So unique instruments. So it allows me to change the configuration of the band and also introduce exotic and different kinds of instruments. So hence the Plustet.
The leader of that Plustet is Chico Freeman. He just returned to the States after 10 years living abroad. Here, he recalls places he saw and the music he heard and played during his European and African travels.
I had the great opportunity to travel all over the world. And in so doing, most of the time, I only got an opportunity to spend a couple of days in a place, a week, maximum 2 weeks, usually. But I did travel around, and I always wondered, because of the music and what I believe music does, you know, how it speaks to its function as it speaks to a culture of a people. I wanted to understand and inform myself and inform my music how people live day to day and how that music that they live day to day, how it informs their lives and how their lives informs their music. Since I had traveled all over, one of the reasons I went to Greece, because a little further east, I wanted to experience some of the Baltic music from the Baltic area and play with gypsies and just different cultures. And I wanted to spend a little more time than just a day or two, you know, in a place and see how it impacts daily lives. Because I know how the music I play and the music that we know in America, how it impacts our daily lives in general. So I wanted to see that from different cultures. From Europe, it was easier for me to travel to Africa and for some reason. And so when I got to Europe, I had the opportunity to travel all over more time and spend more time and go to more places in Africa. I went to Morocco, Algeria, South Africa, Nigeria, Congo, Ghana, Senegal, a host of other places. So this I hadn't been able to do at the time while I was living in America so easily. And so that was the idea of leaving. So I started in Greece because that was closer to the eastern part of Europe and from that place. And then I went from Greece to Switzerland because Switzerland is in the center of Europe. It's like central to the rest of Europe. And in the meantime, I also had a daughter. And I wanted her to have great schools. And so Switzerland, there were two places that the schools were really, really good for her. And that was in Switzerland and in Norway when I did what I found from my research. And so that was one reason I picked Switzerland. I had the opportunity of playing with some great musicians, and interesting and unique musicians, sort of out of my world of knowledge, like gypsies. I played with some Hungarian gypsies, some Bulgarian gypsies, Spanish gypsies, and this whole culture of gypsies. And gypsies are great musicians. The musicians are really excellent. And so I had the opportunity to do that. I mean, one time when I came over to play with the Roots Band, I don't know if you're familiar with that group that I put together with Michael Hennessy. It featured, at the time, it featured Don Pullen, Santi Debriano, Idris Muhammad, Arthur Blythe, Nathan Davis, Sam Rivers, and myself. And one time we went to Spain, Granada, Spain. And while we were there, after a concert, a young lady who was a gypsy herself and invited Arthur Blythe and Don Pullen and myself to go to an after-hours gypsy place where they were the gypsies. It was like, and it was private. Only gypsies went there. It was very unique. So we went with her, and we stayed there from after the concert, which was about 11 o'clock at night to 12 midnight, roughly. And we ended up staying there and jamming and playing with these guys till about 10, 11 the next day. It was an incredible experience playing with them and playing what's the real flamenco. Because you see, the gypsies, that's the real flamenco of Spain. It's sort of like the blues in the South. You know, the African-Americans who play the blues in the South. You hear blues all over the world now, you know, even in London and everything. But the original blues, the real guys, are those that lived up, you know, in the South, the ones that taught Elvis Presley, or Elvis got a lot of stuff from, and those guys. So the gypsies are, they kind of like fill that role in Spain. So I got an opportunity to get that authentic, you know, real stuff. And so as a result, each one of us at different points times wrote a song that was inspired by that event. I got to speak and you know, play with different musicians from different cultures, and I mean, their folk music. Like in Greece, they have an instrument called the clarino. It's like a clarinet, but they're kind of, this kind of music that they play is sort of like their blues and folk music. So I got a chance to meet those kind of musicians, not just the popular music, which you can hear anywhere.
That's Chico Freeman. He'll be back in Columbia for a concert this Thursday evening in the intimate confines of the University of Missouri's Whitmore Recital Hall here in Columbia. The tenor saxophonist and trumpeter was heavily influenced, musically speaking, by his father, Vaughn. Now, 6 years after his father's passing, I asked the son, Chico, to explore the musical influence that his father had on him.
Well, I mean, he's a huge influence on my work. I grew up listening to him, so I think even subconsciously, he was influencing me all the time. Of course, you know, and most sons grow up and they want to please their fathers. They want to, you know, they want their father's approval. I think I eventually got it. So yes, his opinions were always, and he was such a wise man, my father. So, and then when I got the opportunity for us to work together, and we spent years touring the world together and playing together in the band. We had a band and we made a number of records, recordings together, where I felt very fortunate that I was able to introduce my father to the world and give him some long past recognition at that time. And fortunately, I took him to Europe for the first time, for his first time, and I took him to Australia and Japan. And I was able to take him a lot of places. After that, he toured on his own, you know, with his band, and he was a big influence. And just listening to his, you know, work, I mean, his solos and things like that. And yeah, he was a huge influence. I mean, he was an original. And it was something, and all the advice he had given me over the years. One thing he told me, he said, it's easy to copy, but it's very difficult to be original. And I said, why? He said, because if you're original, if you copy, people will recognize the things you do, and they're more likely and easier to accept you. But it's more difficult for people to accept original people, because very often the things that they hear were things that they hadn't heard. And people can be resistant to new things.
The day before Chico Freeman brings his plus tet to Columbia, he'll dedicate a library named for his father. Here, Josh Chittum, the We Always Swing Jazz Series Assistant Director, gives some background on why his organization's Jazz LP and CD Lending Library is a memorial to Chico Freeman's father, Vaughn.
Vaughn was known for being just a great guy and someone who really cared about jazz education, but maybe through a non-typical, you know, academic format. You know, he wanted to play as many jam sessions in as many little clubs as he could and bring as many young players on stage and sort of show them the ropes. And so there's, you know, really an unofficial University of Von Freeman that, you know, happened in Chicago. And so it was just his dedication to education that we thought, you know, what better person to honor with this library than he, because that's the point of the library, is for folks to come in and explore jazz and try to get as much education as they can.
The Von Freeman Memorial Lending Library is located at the We Always Swing Jazz Series office. That's at 21 North 10th Street in downtown Columbia. Thanks to Josh Chittum from the We Always Swing Jazz Series and to the artist Chico Freeman for the interviews. Details about Wednesday's library dedication and the Thursday concert are online at wealwaysswing.org. For KBIA, I'm Trevor Harris.